Well, I think I would have picked this passage no matter what, because it's something I've preached about before, but I don't think I've said everything I have to say about it. But this week, the whole notion of seeing is a little bit closer to my general thoughts. I've been hard of sight all of my life. I got glasses, I think I was 7, somewhere around there, because I guess it wasn't until I got to school that people could actually tell that I couldn't see. So I don't know what it's like to see without glasses or contact lenses or something like that. But it was getting worse, and I kept getting, you know, the little spots and glare and all these sorts of things, and found out, sure enough, you got a cataract, and so I'm going to get it fixed. I'm looking forward to that. But as I was thinking of that, and as I was thinking of this passage, and I was thinking of the last time we were here, which is a few years ago, I was reflecting again on what does it mean to be blind. And it depends, of course, on how you're using the word. We often suggest other people are blind, particularly referees, when calls aren't going the way we want. I suspect there's a lot of that going on now with playoffs and hockey and basketball. But we don't very often tell people that they're blind when it's literal physical blindness. We know about that one. But we can suffer that ourselves. I don't know if any of you, if you've been driving, have suddenly had the sun reflect off somebody else's mirror or something. And for that moment, you're blind. You can't see a thing. Thankfully, it doesn't last very long. But literal physical blindness is really, when it comes to this passage of Scripture, the least of our problems. Because once again, we have another passage of Scripture where if we are so inclined, we can look down our noses at people for not seeing things that we're sure we would have. Although why we're sure of that, I'm not entirely certain myself. I still wonder about this. It says in the New International Version, it says, Jesus himself came up as they were walking along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And I don't even know you'd have to do that. There's somebody who lives in Regina, or at least did, who drove in a way that reminded me of my father and actually looked like him. It was a little disconcerting. But when I saw him, I didn't say, oh, my dad's alive. I just said, look, there's somebody there who looks an awful lot like my dad and even kind of drives like him. So I suspect that these people on Emmaus, Cleopas and their companion, maybe they would have recognized him, maybe not. We don't expect to see people who are dead alive again, so quite possibly. But nonetheless, they didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus asks them what they're talking about, and then we have that story where he explains everything that goes on, and they still don't get it. And then they say, come and have a meal with us, and then they eventually see. And so we look at that, and we think we would be different, but then again, we're looking at the story from the other end. So what that did is it pushed me into this whole thought of blindness in all of its many manifestations. Our character is going to put blind spots or put blinders in front of us. And our character comes from lots of things, but lots of it comes from our upbringing. We are told how to think, we are told who's in, who's out, all of those things that go into our character, some of which we can achieve victory over later, some of which we have to struggle against all our lives. But our prejudices, whether it's racism or bigotry or misogyny or homophobia, whatever it is, those things that are there that blind us to the reality of the humanity of other people, well, that's a blindness. It's a metaphorical blindness, but it works just the same. It's as if when we encounter someone that we have a prejudice against, all we see is what we are prejudiced about. All we see is what we want to see. We are tremendously able at seeing what we want to see, aren't we? And it isn't just bad things. We are just as likely when we first fall in love to be unable to see any of the rougher edges on our loved one. Often it's our friends and family who help us see that they are not the perfect person we thought they were. But for that period of time when we're in that infatuation, we don't see any of those things. It's as if they're not there. So it's a character defect if we keep this up and if we don't understand that we have it. Everyone has those. I have them. There are things about particular people that I have to work really hard to get past. And if I'm not paying attention, I won't even try. I'll just put that person in that category and I'll just leave them there. Well, we all have those. So we can rise above them. That's one of the kinds of blindness we have. And then sometimes we don't see what's really there because it's an optical illusion. You've seen those things. Remember that big fad for three-dimensional things? You'd let your eyes slowly unfocus, you move them back and forth, and then a tiger jumped out or a dragon or something like that. Does anybody else remember those? I didn't just make those up, did I? Okay, good. They didn't work very well for me. I wonder if they'd work better now that my vision's sort of a little on the blurry side most of the time, but that means that we're seeing what, in a sense, isn't there just because of the way our eyes are built. If we lose parallax, that's when you can't... Parallax is your ability to tell depth. And I'm sure this has happened to you. Often, if you're looking at something against a busy background, especially an irregular busy background, suddenly you'll lose parallax for a second. You won't be able to tell how far away things are. It's a little disturbing, but it's just a momentary thing. But it just reminds us again that our eyes, wondrous things that they are, can sometimes fool us. And sometimes we don't see what is there. In the same way that human beings are pattern-making people, you know, that's what lets us look into the clouds and see a dog or a whale or whatever it is that we see in the clouds. We do that. Seeing what isn't there, we can put something there. But sometimes it goes the other way. And my most terrifying experience with this was when I still rode a motorcycle. Because the most common words coming out of the mouths of people in cars who have hit somebody on a motorcycle or a bicycle is, "I didn't see them." And they're not just trying to get out of it. They didn't see them. Because we don't see what we're not expecting to see. For better or worse, that's just the way we are. We have to be trained to expect to see something other than cars and trucks to be able to see them. And that's why young drivers have so many problems with so many things, is that they're learning how to see what they need to see and filter out the things they don't. You don't need to see trees unless you're skidding or something like that. Trees are just part of the world around. What you need to see are the things that can be in front of you. We're much better with pedestrians, thank goodness. And I didn't just make that business up about that I didn't see them. It came from a report I read from police officers talking about the most common things when it came to accidents. And with particularly motorcycles and only slightly less with bicycles. It's, I didn't see them. Because what you're doing, when you're looking over there, you're expecting to see a car or a truck. And if you don't see either of those, it's as if nothing's there. Our minds are amazing things, but they're not perfect. And our eyes aren't perfect, and our ability to interpret things aren't perfect either. So what else don't we see? Well, we don't see God. We don't see God because we don't look for God. And I'm not talking about seeing God the same way Moses did, or the same way Adam and Eve did. I'm not talking about that, you know, the vision of the glory of God. I'm talking about we don't see God at work in us and around us because we're not expecting to. And in the same way, we don't see a motorcycle where it is when we're not expecting it to be. We don't see God. But if we look for God, we will. One of my favorite quotations is from Alec Baldwin, the actor. And he was talking about his recovery. And he said, "God got me sober. That day, God was a black 65-year-old retired postal worker named Lenny." His eyes were open to see God. Are our eyes open to see God? Because we see what we want to see, or more to the point, we don't see what we don't want to see. And if we've convinced ourselves that God is disinterested in us, or that God just, like that cosmic watchmaker, set the universe in motion and then just left, it'll be very difficult for us to see God, because where other people see God, we will see coincidence or a peculiar phenomenon of some sort. Well, some of these seeing issues that we've talked about, we can't fix. Sometimes our eyesight can be restored. It can be made better with glasses. I look out and I see many people with glasses. We can work hard at trying to identify our prejudices and those areas of blindness within us. And we do that by, first of all, admitting that they're there. The most prejudiced people I know are the ones who say they have no prejudice. They don't even see it within themselves. And so we need to remind ourselves that we could have these, and where might they be? Optical illusions don't last very long, and we can always get our parallax back by closing our eyes tightly, opening them again, touching something. It comes back right away. We can train ourselves to see motorcycles, pedestrians, and bicycles. And even more, if we can't fix our physical blindness, we can certainly work on our spiritual blindness. If we are willing to, we can look to see God, and we will. And I will tell you that there are people who will not believe you, and there are people who even make fun of you. I hope not, but there could be. But if you are open to see God working in your life, you will see differences, especially if you look back over time. There may not be a big difference between today and yesterday, but there's probably quite a lot of difference between today and 30 years ago. This change often happens gradually, not always. Sometimes it's dramatic, and that's wonderful when it does. But we can see God at work in our lives. And if we're willing to look past our sense of who these people are around us, we'll be able to see God there as well. Perhaps this has never happened to you, or you aren't one of these kind of people, but I've heard often that I just don't connect with my fellow high school students at all. I can think of one that I've seen in the last 40 years. I just don't. They're in another province for the most part. But I've heard other people who do. They go to a reunion. They go to something along that nature. And they're shocked at how much these people have changed. Well, why? Why are they shocked? Because in their mind, what they're expecting to see is that person, 18 years old, only perhaps a little rounder, a little balder, a little grayer, whatever it might be. And that's it. And they forget that they themselves have changed dramatically over the last however many years. If we're willing to see change in other people, we will see God at work in people around us often. Because God doesn't just work for people who look exactly like us and go to the same church that we do. God's at work all over the place. So what do we see? We see what we want to see, but we can also see what's really there if we can train our eye. The difference between a photographer and someone who takes pictures is the photographer sees what's actually there, and we see what we think is there. And that's why photographers will never take a picture with their thumb in front of the camera. They'll never take a picture with a tree branch in the way, because we ignore that, because that's what we can do. We can do the same looking for God by stepping away from those things that get in the way, our belief that things never change, that that person will always be that way, and instead look for those bits of evidence that God is at work in our own lives and those around us. And every once in a while, we too will say, wasn't my heart burning within me when I suddenly noticed the profound change in that person, that family member, in myself? If we want to see God, God is there to be seen. All we have to do is learn to look past what's obvious, to look past what we think, and look to see what's really there. And nothing is more real than the work of God. Amen.